Well, I wanted to testify real quickly. Last weekend, I went to a church in North Dakota. How many of you have been to Bismarck, North Dakota? There's a lot of you. I just didn't think it was a destination. To me, it's like a whole nother world. All right, so I'm from Seattle, Washington, like born and raised, and just not a place that I go to. So before I became the pastor of this church, one of the things I would do is I'd travel around and get a lot of speaking invites. So conferences, camps, church services, that's one of the things that I did for about 10 years. So I've been to a lot of churches, a lot of places. But when we came here and I became the pastor almost 5 years ago, believe it or not, is that wow? Is that a good wow or a bad wow? You got to be careful because I'm up here. You know, you got to be just Sonia, I'm messing with you. That was a good wow though, right? So I put you on blast. That's not right. But I still get speaking invites, but I just say no. Because listen, I want to be here. I, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be. Pastor Scott was preaching. We had this young man preach last weekend here. Pastor Scott, when he was preaching, I was on live stream. I was on, and I'm never on live stream, but I was. You come on, Scott, preach it, man. It's like, I didn't hear you guys online. I was like, nobody's even amening his sermon. What is happening? So I start praying in tongues and praying, in, you know, and all that, praying for you. But he taught, it was good word about following, knowing Jesus. So I was in it. Jandy was leading. I was air guitaring. I was in it. I hope you were. But I want to see Federal Way changed and this surrounding region. I want the devil's teeth to get kicked in, for sure. I want heaven to get populated. So I long to be here. We're called here, and I don't like to go, even going somewhere. I'm like, I want to be home. I want to be in our church. I want to be with my family. So I love you. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. But if a church invites me to come, I'll do it a couple times a year, and I'll take people with me. And I tell them, I'm like, I will not speak just on a Sunday service. Like, I'm not going to do that. You can do that better than I can. It's your church. But if you'll let me have a whole weekend with your church, I need like 4 or 5 sessions. Then I'll pray about it. If you'll give me a whole weekend. Because I can't get much done in a sermon. I need that. And so this church had invited me a couple years in a row. And so I finally said yes. So we went out there and I talked about freedom and deliverance. Now that assumes salvation. Greatest miracle is us giving our whole lives to Jesus, being completely changed from the inside out. Greatest miracle. You can get healed and your heart not change, right? So we need salvation. But after salvation, there's so many Christians who just sit where they are and they don't do anything. They live in their bondage. They're not free. They're not experiencing joy. You get like a 6-month stint and that's about it. And then if you're not careful and you're not following Jesus and receiving his grace and going after him and confessing sin and repenting from sin and going after him, reading his word and standing in prayer and having fellowship. If you're not doing that, you just go back to the same old habits. We're not free. We stay bound. Like I said, you get about a 6-month stint. You get excited, me and Jesus, whatever, but we just drift back. And so my passion is to see people walk in freedom because that's what Jesus paid for. He didn't pay for us to be religious. He didn't pay for us just to go to church. He paid for us to walk in joy. Come on, in peace and life and freedom. That's what Christianity is about. It's a full contact sport 24/7. So I'm passionate about that. I got to walk this church through freedom and deliverance, and it was great. We had 7 people give their lives to Jesus. Amen. Come on, for the first time, it wasn't like, hey, this is my 7th time praying to invite Jesus into my heart. I don't do the Jesus into your heart thing. I do the give your whole life to Jesus thing. You don't just invite Jesus into your heart. You give your life to Jesus. Give your whole life to Jesus. Turn from your sin. Turn from your way. Give your whole life to Jesus. So we had 7 people come forward, got to pray with them. And then we had over 60 people we prayed for freedom and deliverance and all that. One story stuck out to me, and I want to testify about that today, which is reminds me of the power of testimony. There was a man who came up, told me he was 74 years old, and he said, Pastor Ben, when you told a story about somebody getting delivered, and you identified that it was a demonic power, when you told that story, I automatically knew that this thing that has been plaguing me since I was a boy was demonic. Now, pause. Some people say that it's a demon's fault when it's really them. Can we get an amen there? We like to blame things on demons. I mean, if the demon is the same name as you, then, but it's not always demons, it's the flesh. You can't cast out the flesh. You have to walk in his righteousness by his grace in a disciplined way. Okay, but some things, friends, are demonic lies, demonic power. Okay, it's very important that we understand that. You heard some of that today. I bet a couple of you got uncomfortable. What does this church believe? Well, we just believe evil should be cast out. That's what we believe. And then we should walk in the righteousness of Christ according to Scripture. We don't think everything's a demon. But this man, 74 years old, told me that when you told the story about somebody identifying there's a demonic power, I knew that was me. This thing, one of the terms I use is it's bigger than you. It's overwhelming you. And he said, I've tried everything. I've done counseling for years. I've gone to classes. I've done all this stuff. Pastor Ben, I've done all of it. But what compelled me to come forward and ask for prayer was when you told that story. And so I walked him through, I'll just kind of summarize it. I prayed with him. As we prayed, I asked the Holy Spirit to help me identify if this is a demonic power or if it's just the flesh or maybe it's a wound of the past. There's like an open door or whatever. As I prayed for him, this man started to exhibit demonic influence. Without going into that, I know that's a whole theological thing, but so he started to do that, and I took authority over that in the name of Jesus, and his whole body just went peace. And there's a lot to say here, but I just spoke the shalom of God over it, and his whole body just went to peace, and then we prayed what I call the process of closing doors. And you could talk to me after the service about this, but so we went through his past a little bit, and there were open doors to the work of the enemy, and we closed all those doors, renouncing and repenting in the mighty name of Jesus. And here's what I want to say: it was like this man's countenance changed, and a glorious freedom came in, rushed in, and came there. I mean, it's so powerful; you could just visibly see it on him, and it, glorious freedom of Jesus, amen. And it reminded me of the power of testimony. This man sat through 5 lessons on freedom and deliverance. That's a lot of Ben. That's too much. It's a lot. He sat through 5 teachings. You know, a lot of people, they sit through a lot of teachings, right? What got him to come forward was a story about freedom and deliverance. It was a testimony. And it just reminded me of why we need to talk about what God is doing. Because I bet you in this room, no matter what you're facing or what you're up against in this season of your life, I bet you there's somebody in this room that has a testimony, has a story of what God has done, and it relates to the situation that you're in. And this is something that it reminded me of, and we need to remember, testimonies are firsthand accounts and evidence of God's work in our midst, that God is real. He is not contained in a book and a church service. God is real. He is who he says he is. And when a real person talks about a real God doing a real thing, you can't fight with that. You can't argue with that. It's powerful, isn't it? It's evidence of God's work in our midst. You know, in Hebrew, the word testimony comes from a root word that literally means do it again with the same power and authority. Do it again. Would you say that with me? Do it again. So when someone shares, the implication is what God did for them, he can also do for me. What God did for them, he can also do for you. And the Hebrew people understood this. Israel, they knew this. In the Old Testament, God directed his people to establish places, events, and ongoing celebrations. That's what you have with the feasts and Passover and so on. In fact, when you look at Joshua chapter 4, this is where Moses had died. Joshua was commissioned to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And they have the Jordan River in front of them. And God causes the Jordan River to roll back. And they all walk through on dry ground, just like the Red Sea. It's a different situation. They walk through. And here's what God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 4. He said, what I want you to do is have 12 people, one person from each of the tribes of Israel, take a stone in the middle of that dry bed and bring it with you on the other side and basically build up. It was a memorial to commemorate what God had done. And in chapter 4, he tells them why I want you to do this. It's very powerful. He said, here's why. When your children ask about these rocks, I want you to tell them what I did. Friends, you hear that? When your children ask you about these rocks, what is up with this pile of rocks? I want you to tell them what I did, that I brought you through, that I'm the one that got you here. I mean, it's just so powerful. It was establishing the testimony of the Lord for the next generation. And you know what's sad and maybe scary? Is that after Joshua dies, it says something happens to that generation. Did you notice that? We've been reading Judges in our Bible reading plan as a church. And there's some scary ideas in there. It says in Judges chapter 1 that the people did right in their own eyes. When their leaders died, they just went back to sin. That's what happened. And I thought this was a very interesting point to bring up today as we're talking about testimony. Joshua dies, and here's what it says, verse 10, chapter 2. All that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, and look at this, who did not know the Lord, nor the work that he had done for Israel. You got to pay attention to this. The next generation, their kids, when they started taking their place, they didn't know the Lord and they didn't know what God had done. Here's the thing. Their parents knew what God had done. They saw it with their own eyes. Their parents knew the Lord. So if the kids don't know the Lord and they don't know what God had done, it is because the parents didn't tell the kids. And this is why the Bible says all over the place, do not forget God. Don't forget what he's done. Don't forget what he said. You might wonder sometimes why God had to give these memorials and remind people in their generation, do not forget what I have done for you. So he establishes feasts and these memorials with rocks and all this stuff that God has. It's to remind the people of God that it cannot be lost in your generation. You need to tell your kids who I am and what I can do. Come on, friends. Some of us have stopped talking about what God has done in our life. Isn't that right? Don't look at your neighbor. Just look at me right now and shake your head. Testimonies are broader than just like salvation. Like if you say, tell me your testimony, a person will be like, well, when I was four. I was born, first of all, and then... And I mean, I don't have to explain that, but then, and then, you know, we kind of think like we have to tell our whole story. Testimonies are broader. It could be testimony of how you got saved, testimony of how you got healed, testimony of how you got delivered, testimony of how God answered prayer. Anything. We're telling the stories of what God has done. That's what a testimony is. It's to tell the stories of what God has done. There was a young man in our church, and years ago, this was just a couple years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. I sat with him and he said to me, Pastor Ben, why do you always tell your story about being saved and coming to Christ? And I turned around, you know, and composed myself and came back. Young man. Do you know why I talk about getting saved? Because I knew who I was. And there wasn't nothing or nobody that could ever and has ever done for me what Jesus has. And it's literally that real to me. Now, listen, if you've gotten saved and you've gotten set free and you've gotten delivered and you've tried everything else and you meet Jesus and he actually changes your life, like this isn't some fictitious thing. It's not some religious game. Like your life really changes. Do you think you can stop talking about that? That's my question. Why did you stop talking about it? If you think I just do this on a stage, you're wrong. Friends, I love God. You love God. That's why I talk about it. It's not supposed to stay here. It's not supposed to stay private. No, friends, this is my life. This is your life. He did all of this. So we tell the stories of what God has done. Just talk about the goodness of God. If you're cutting my hair, what little I have left, you're going to hear about the goodness of God. If I have time where I get to talk with you more than just an exchange in the drive-thru when I get coffee, you're going to hear about the goodness of God. Fear's not my friend. I'm not afraid. We need to talk about Jesus and what he's done. You can be an introvert and still tell the stories of what God has done. Whether you're extroverted, well, this is not my thing. You know, I'm kind of introverted. God did something in your life. I mean, that doesn't change the fact that you're an introvert, but it comes out of you. It comes out of you. I'm amazed. Now, I'm getting on my soapbox, Pastor Jared, all right? I'm amazed that people talk so much about sports and hobbies and you guys on social media. I mean, everybody's got a master class and everybody knows everything about everything. You get on there, it's like, if you're dieting right now, who do you listen to? Right? Like one guy's like, broccoli's bad for you. The next person, you need to eat as much broccoli as possible. I'm like, I'm not wrong. If you're on social media, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's freaky. Everybody knows everything, whatever. And so people are passionate about everything. We should be passionate about who God is and what God has done. In the short time I have a few points. Number one is we are witnesses of what God has done. That's what we are. It's literally what we are. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after Jesus rose again before he ascended to the Father, he says to his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even the remotest parts of the earth." We know this verse. It's a very popular Pentecostal verse, but look what he says. You shall be my witnesses. You know what witnesses are? There are people who testify about their experience, what they've seen and what they've heard. That's what a witness is. An eyewitness saw something. You call on an eyewitness to talk about what they saw. You tell us you were there. That's what a witness is. You will be my witnesses. You will tell everyone about what you've seen, what you've heard, what you know, what you've experienced. That's what we are. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to be a witness of Jesus, which is talk about him everywhere and to anybody and to not be afraid. When the disciples, Peter and John, were arrested by the religious leaders, they were beaten and then they were told, "Do not speak in the name of Jesus." And I wanted to share with you their response. They said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, "For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." Friends, did you notice that word, "we cannot"? They didn't say, "We will not." They said, "No, you don't understand. What you're asking me to do isn't possible. I cannot stop speaking about what I know is the truth." Just like I'm standing in front of you today, you're asking me to act like what's true isn't true, and I cannot do that. Even though you beat me, even though you take things from me, you cannot take from me the reality of God. So I won't do what you're saying. And this was their response. It's so powerful. And there are all these stories in the Bible where God touched one life and it affected the many because they shared the story. And we're reading it today. These are stories, many of these, some of it's just straight truth, it's doctrine, but some of these are stories about what Jesus did. How many stories in the gospel narratives, Jesus touched someone, Jesus healed someone, Jesus delivered someone. We're reading about it today and it's encouraging our life. And we also are living epistles, is what Paul talked about, where we keep telling about what he's done. There's John chapter 4. You remember the woman at the well? She has this really short, small encounter with Jesus, and she goes back to Samaria and talks about what she encountered, and the Bible says it stirred a whole city to come out and see this Jesus that she talked about. One woman's testimony stirred a city to come out to see Jesus. That's pretty powerful. John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man, and his testimony challenged the religious, skeptical community because it was done on the Sabbath. Right? You can't heal on the Sabbath. They couldn't heal at all. You can't heal on the Sabbath. So it stirred up the religious community and they said, "We demand you tell us who healed you." Because they wanted to take him out. And he said, "Look, I don't know who it is. All I know is I was blind, come on, but now I can see." And we say that today, don't we? Made songs out of that. It's all he says, "I don't even know who it was. I couldn't see him until my eyes were open." This is powerful. I was blind and now I can see. They wanted to, you know, hopefully they wanted to know to get healed, but that wasn't the case. John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and his testimony that he shared caused people to believe in him. I think so. If we had a resurrection in our church, you think some of you guys would start, we'd start believing. We'd start believing, yeah. See us around all kinds of places. I mean, can you imagine? That'd be incredible. Oh. Mark chapter 5, a man who was filled with demons, we call him the demoniac at the Gerasenes, he was living in caves. They tried to restrain him and he kept breaking the restraints. You guys remember this story? I preached on it before. He breaks all the restraints. He's living like an animal, lives off in the caves. Nobody wants to be around this guy, talk to him, touch him, nothing. Jesus pays him a visit. Jesus pays him a visit and everything changes. I love this story. He sets him free, casts the demons into the pigs. Everybody's got opinions on that. And the pigs run into the water and kill themselves. So the whole city comes out, some of them just to wonder what happened to their pigs. And it says this, the detail is very, very important. It says when the people from the city came out and they looked at the man, they saw that he was clothed and in his right mind. That was the testimony that he put on clothes. He was clothed and he was in his right mind, and they were amazed. So this guy naturally wanted to follow Jesus, obviously. So here's what it says. I wanted to read to you this interaction after the end of that. Mark 5:18. It says, as he was getting into the boat, this is Jesus, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him. That means it was begging him that he might go with him. But Jesus did not let him, and he said to him, go home to your people and report to them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Go tell the story. Go tell the story. And the man went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. This is a region, not just a city. He went out throughout the region and started to share. And look what it says, that last part of the verse. It's not up here, but it says, and everyone was amazed. Everyone was amazed. In the book of Acts, the first two chapters, it says five times because of what God had done, and the people were amazed. It says it again and again. When people witness what God has done, sometimes when they just hear about it, it says that they're amazed. You know why? It's because everyone has hopelessness, pain, difficulty, sickness, disease, depression. People are struggling in our world, and many of them are us. Am I right? We struggle with stuff. And when we hear that there's a real God, when he touches your life, things change. When we hear about that, it causes something inside of us to lean in, to believe, to hope, to believe again for some of us. This is why testimonies are so important and so powerful, and we need that today. Testimonies bring about incredible results, and I just want to share with you like a shotgun these quick things. When we share, when we receive from testimonies, number one, they reveal the reality of God. Before I got saved, I knew the story, I had heard it, but God was not real to me. God was not real to me. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was ushered into a whole new reality. All of a sudden, what I had heard became real. God started moving in my life. I wrote a book called Hearing God, and people say, why'd you write a book called Hearing God? Because I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God. I didn't even know that God spoke to people personally. But I heard him before I knew whether or not that was a thing. And that's why I've become passionate about that. I'm more passionate about God's word, but I believe even then we have to hear. It has to be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. But I heard his voice, changed my life. The reality of God rushed in. When I used to travel a bunch and go to speak at all these conferences, and my daughter and my son, when my kids were young, I remember my daughter was like 5 or 6, and I'm traveling and getting on airplanes and going speaking at stuff, and I'd come home, and I would tell my daughter all the things that God would do, like this person got saved, and this person got delivered, and this person gave their whole life over to Jesus and had been in church for 20 years, and I would tell her these stories, and I remember at some point, I don't remember when, but at some point, my daughter, I think 5 or 6 years old, somewhere around there, if you know Azariah, she loves Jesus, but she's loved Jesus since she was a kid, and she would say to me when I came home, Dad, tell me about what God did. Yeah. She just would say that. Tell me about what God did. And I thought about this a little bit. My daughter at a young age couldn't comprehend her dad going and ministering this word, having my testimony and coming home and saying God didn't do anything. See, it wouldn't even make sense to her. If I came home and I said, Azariah, God didn't do anything. I just got to teach and kind of encourage a few people. And that's kind of, she'd be like, what? Why did you even go? You know, it was he's so real to her at an early age. It challenged me. I mean, I had to get my act together and make sure I was prayed up, fasted up, you know, seeking God. Like, man, this expectation's a lot. But it's not on me. It's on him, right? It's on him. You know, we pray, he moves. We obey, and God just brings the results. I just loved how real God was to her and still is. Paul said this in a culture of paganism or pagan philosophy. He said, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Maybe Christianity's been words to you. Maybe that's what it's been. It's just been words, and it hasn't meant much. I remember the day where I could profess that that's all Christianity was to me. It was just words, and I didn't believe it. I remember that day, and that's when the Lord began to pursue me powerfully as a 19-year-old. And I felt like the Lord chased me down and didn't take no for an answer. Here's in my heart, this is what I feel today. I know a lot of you believe in Jesus, but I just think there's some here today, maybe listening. And I just want you to know something, that if you haven't turned over your whole life to Jesus, and I mean, you might believe in your head, but if you haven't given your whole life, like, this is real. Jesus is real. If you haven't turned over your whole life, he's going to pursue you until you do. I'm going to prophesy over you right now. You're not getting out of nothing. You're not getting out of nothing. He is going to pursue you. He is after you. And I mean, you're going to, just like I was, you're going to be at the store and somebody's going to be like, hey, do you know Jesus? And you're like, come on, sir, I just want to buy gas today. All right? I didn't come here for all that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. That holy irritation, it's not going to stop. It's going to increase and intensify. I'm prophesying right now. It's going to increase and it's going to intensify until you turn over your life completely and totally. He wants it all. He deserves it all. He deserves it all. And that's the thing, is like, we start sharing about what God has done. We hear about it from others, but God wants to make it that real in our life. Don't you believe that? And the testimony can be different. Testimonies ignite like a hunger for God. And sometimes we're just full of the things of the world and we need a fresh hunger for the things of the Lord. We need a fresh hunger for the reality of Jesus. And that's why we need people to talk about it, share with us what God is doing. I don't have time for this, but I was just, one of the things I was, it was in my mind today, this morning, was how much church hurt there is. How many people have been hurt by someone that represented God, that came in the name of Jesus, and it damaged that person. And that's, it's just horrible, because you know what it does? It discredits Christianity. And we know, we sang it today, Jesus is good, and if you put your hope in him, he will never put you to shame. The problem is that so many people put our hope, and we believe that the person representing God is who they say they are, and then they're not. I mean, not everyone, but there are some that it is damaged, it's hurt. It's hurt us to the point where it's hard to trust. I've seen so much of that. And by God's grace, I pray that's never going to be me, but Lord, help us. But these testimonies are getting shared all the time. The church is terrible. The church hurt me. I mean, those are getting shared all over the place. The church just wants something from you. And to some degree, that's been true for some people, right? I'm speaking to myself. Like, amen? Like, that's the truth. Some churches have damaged people more than brought them any good. But I want to tell you today, Jesus is not like that. Jesus is good. Jesus is who he says he is. And if you put your hope in Jesus, you'll never be put to shame, ever. That's a fact. And that's why we need to hear about what Jesus is doing. Not just about the damage that people have done in the name of Jesus, but what is Jesus doing in the lives of people? That's what I want to hear about more and more. And if you have today, if you have a testimony that isn't as powerful as like it was darkness and now it's light, I just want to encourage you. And if you think like somehow what you have to share is not a big deal because you've either always been a Christian or you've always been in church and you always kind of done relatively good, I'm not saying you're perfect, but you know, some people have that. They're like, I don't have this testimony where I was on crack and now I'm back. You know, I don't have all that, you know. Thanks God. I mean, you don't really. Like, if that's you, can I tell you today, like, your testimony about the keeping power of Jesus is what we want for the next generation. That God can keep you. I mean, I don't want my kids to go where I went and come back and be like, Dad, you were right. I want them to believe me and believe the word of God that Jesus is good, the Bible is true, and you don't have to go to the dark side to figure that out. You can stay following Jesus all the days of your life. Friends, that's the testimony that the world needs to see right now too, is that if you trust him, you can stay with him all the days of your life. And so some of you come from places that I come from or worse, and so praise God that he's brought us over into the glorious light. Amen. But for the rest of you, share that testimony. God kept me. God was with me. His keeping power is real. He sustains me. Men, share that. Stop acting like you're a second-rate Christian. You're not. We need to hear the testimony of the Lord in all its shapes and sizes and facets and everything that God does, from keeping us to delivering us. We need to hear the testimony of the Lord. So receive it, share it, encourage people with it. But be like Paul and John. We cannot stop speaking of what we've seen and what we've heard. Amen. Amen. Cannot stop. We cannot stop. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray. Would you, just with your hands out to the Lord to receive from him today, let's do that in whatever way you want to do that. But can I challenge you, if you're here and you're not sure that you're a Christian, or that you're following Jesus, you don't know that you're forgiven for your sin or where you're at with him, after the service, we have pastors and prayer team members up here. I want to encourage you, come forward. If this is in your heart, give your life to Jesus. Today's the day of salvation. Don't leave the room. If this is in your heart, just like that young woman I prayed with last service, she believed in her head, but she had not surrendered her life. And that was the question. Do you believe? Yes. Have you given Jesus your life? I don't know what that means. If you don't know what that means, come forward. We want to pray with you to give your whole life to Jesus. For the rest of us, let's just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to stir our faith, to make him known and be sharpened today. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for all that you're doing. I thank you for our church. I thank you for every person that's in this room that has a story to share. And I pray, Lord, that you would make us courageous in the world that we live in. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you'd stir our faith in such a way where we would live it out loud. Give us opportunities, Lord. Yeah, we don't get them every day, but Lord, let us not overlook them. And when we hear about what you've done, let us be encouraged. Not skeptical, not cynical, but be encouraged to be sharpened, to share with others, to go after all that your word says is true about who you are and what you do. We ask you to move in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening today. Pastor Ben's mission is to equip the church to impact the world. If you want to get connected, check the show notes and visit bendixon.org. From there, you can learn about Pastor Ben's other podcasts, the books he has written, Ignite Global Ministries, and the online Immersion Discipleship School.